Now we ask prayerfully that you would reveal yourself through your word, that you would speak to us, that you would open our eyes, that you would clear our minds, and that we would see Jesus, and we would see him in his beauty, and that we would love him, for he loves us. For Jesus' sake, amen. Isaiah 45 and verse 22. Turn to me and be saved, all ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Turn to me, all ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I once knew a man, this is quite a few years ago, I once knew a man who spent years going to church, wanting to be saved. He attended church every Sunday as he'd been brought up to do. He had Christian friends. And he brought up his own family to go to church and go to Sunday school. He did all the right things that you would expect of somebody who was a believer, but he wasn't. His wife got saved, but he didn't. And eventually, on his deathbed, a few weeks before he passed away from cancer at the age of 45, he was saved and he was converted and he was born again. And he asked his wife one question when that happened. He said, "Why didn't you tell me it was so simple? Why didn't you tell me it was so easy to be saved?" We can make getting saved or the idea of being saved, we can make that more difficult, more complex than it actually is, because what the Bible says about being saved is really fairly simple, fairly straightforward. And we can talk about being saved, salvation. We can talk about it in ways that make it seem more complex, more difficult than it actually is. We can talk about it in our own, if we understand some of what's going on, we can talk about it in ways that make us sound as if we are experts. But it makes the whole process, the whole thing, seem more complex. I taught computing for 30 years in maths, and computing is just wall to wall, door to door with jargon. And it was pretty soon in that I realized I could actually make myself sound as if I knew what I was talking about, just by using the right words. Yes, that's a batch processing thing. And, you know, we serially process this and all of the, you know. Jargon, as Christians, we can fall into the trap of using terms and words that are perfectly fine, that we find in the Bible. But if we're talking to people who don't know that, who don't understand all of this hinterland of terms and meanings and words, all we're doing is showing them that we don't really fully understand what it is we're talking about. They're all fine words: born again, redeemed, saved, converted. But if we're not sure about what they exactly mean, then they can be confusing. Now, tonight, this is the last of our communion services. So tonight, we've celebrated the death of Christ. We've commemorated the death of Christ. Tonight, we are going to consider salvation, plain and simple. because I'd like you to be able to say that at least once from me, I'm sure you get it regularly as well, but at least once from me, that you heard a simple, clear message that you understand. No, a simple, clear message about salvation that you understand, that anyone could understand. And we're going to hang it on this verse here in Isaiah 45. Turn to me and be saved, all ends of the earth, for I am God and there's no one else. We need to be clear about what we're speaking about. What does salvation mean? What does it mean to you? Well, it means to be safe. It's from the same root word as being safe. It's being safe from harm. It's basically being rescued. And that's when we are saved. We've been rescued by Jesus. That's what we're saying. We've been rescued from what? From God's hatred of sin in hell. And we're speaking specifically about our soul. And that's another thing. What is a soul? S-U-L-E. What do we mean by a soul? Well, a soul is you. You are a soul. Genesis chapter 2, when God made Adam, he breathed into his nostrils, and Adam became a living soul. He didn't become a living body. He didn't become a living being. He became a living soul. C.S. Lewis says, you are a soul. You have a body. We are living souls. Our body is basically an envelope that holds our soul. And when you get a letter through the post, you have an envelope and its contents. What is more important? Is it the envelope or is it the contents? It's the contents, obviously. So the soul is the part of us that is important when we're talking about being saved. Not so much the body. We live in an age where fitness and running and all of these things, which the attraction for, as you can probably tell, I have saved an absolute fortune by driving past a gym regularly. I went running once. I was telling Colin this last night. I went running once in 1985 when I was teaching in Perth, and it was a miracle because I managed to squeeze a whole lifetime's worth of running into one Thursday morning at 7:30. I never needed to go running again. Our soul being saved is what we're talking about here. Our soul is the part of us that lasts forever. So if your soul is safe, then it's something eternal. It's something that can't fade. It's something that can't wear out. It's something that cannot be taken from us. We can't even give it away. We can't go, well, that's enough of that. I'm going to be a pirate now. Get rid of the salvation. Job done. We can't do that. So we're going to answer tonight from this verse four questions about being saved. Who saves? Who can be saved? How difficult is being saved? And how secure is it? We were looking at security this morning. How secure in it? So four questions. Who saves? Who can be saved? How difficult is it? And how secure is it? So, and all the answers are in that verse. So I'm not doing anything fantastic here. I'm basically pointing you at this verse and saying, there's the answer. So first question, who saves? God says, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. That's pretty clear, isn't it? That's pretty stark, pretty black and white. We don't save ourselves. We don't polish up our act. We don't straighten up and fly right. And God goes, well, do you know that they would make a great addition to my collection of saved human beings, of good people. We don't do that. The only way to heaven, the only cure for sin, the only way to escape hell, the only way to get God is God. He saves. He saves. Now, how does he save? How does he do it? Well, he has a rescue plan. And it's a rescue plan that involves Jesus, whose death we were remembering this morning. Jesus is the cornerstone of God's plan and always has been since the Garden of Eden. Jesus has been the cornerstone of God's plan to save people like you and me, to save souls. And Jesus himself in John chapter 14, verse 6 says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the way to heaven. Jesus is the truth about God. He's God revealed. People aren't saved. Now, people aren't saved because they're free church. People aren't saved just because they've been baptized or because they're good people who are living good lives and they deserve to be saved. That's not why people are saved. Now, these things are fine and good in their own way, in their own place, but on their own, they can't save your soul. Coming to church and sitting in church for an hour on a Sunday does not make you a Christian. Any more than me going and standing in my garden shed makes me a lawnmower. You're saved because you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation, being saved, only comes from God. Doesn't come from doing good things. Doesn't come from living a good life, thinking that, well, God will see me and, you know, I'm a good person. He'll recognize how good I am and you know, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. Salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. Those of us of a certain age, we remember an up-and-coming hip group beat combo called the Beatles. And in the Beatles, there was a man called Ringo Starr. And John Lennon, when he was asked if Ringo Starr was the best drummer in the world, John Lennon said he's not even the best drummer in the Beatles. But he was the drummer of the Beatles. And some years ago, maybe, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years ago, when he turned 70, he was interviewed for the press. And he was asked, what's changed as you get older? What has changed? How do you see things now? What's your perception on life? How have things changed? And he said, well, he said, I believe in God. I see God. I get God. But I don't understand Jesus. I don't see the need for Jesus. Now, that's only one side of the picture. It's incomplete. Because Jesus is the way to God. Salvation only comes from God through Jesus. We're saved because we believe and we trust in no one and no thing except Jesus Christ. Because we know Jesus, because we love Jesus, because we trust Jesus with our life and more importantly with our death. Because of what he did at the cross. You know the song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground, everything else is sinking sand. Are you saved? Let's get personal here. Are you saved this evening? Are you believing? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ? If not, do you want to be? Well, if you don't want to be, what are you doing in here? This is the most dangerous place for somebody who doesn't want to be saved to be, because God has promised to be where his people gather together, and he promised to be here with blessing. And the greatest blessing that you can have is for him to save your soul. So are you saved? Do you want to be saved? And if your answer is no, why on earth not? Why on earth not? Are you trying to save yourselves? Are you thinking this is a job I can do myself? This is something that I can do. I can better myself. I can improve myself. I can make myself savable. Stop trying to do what's already been done. Because Jesus has done it all. Trust Jesus by faith. Trust that what he did is good enough. And he will save you. He's done everything that's necessary. And all that you need to do is to trust and believe and to lean on Jesus for your salvation. There's only one way to God. There's only one way to be saved. There's only one way to get to heaven. And his name is Jesus. There's no other way. He is the way. Acts 16 tells us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we will be saved. That's it. Jesus is the only way to be saved. So who saves? God saves through Jesus. Who can be saved? Look at verse 22 again. Who can be saved? Look to me, all ends of the earth. What makes God's plan of salvation, what makes God's plan to save people such a great plan, is that it is available to every single human being that ever was, ever will be, that is on the planet at the moment. It is freely available to one and all. All you ends of the earth, turn to me and you will be saved. John 3:16 tells us, God loved the world in this way, that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him, whoever believed in him, there's no limit on that word, that the first 250 million who believed in him would be saved. No, absolutely not. Whoever. And the last thing that Jesus says at the end of the Bible, in Revelation 22, is, whoever will, whoever wants to, let him come. It's not just for some people. It's not just for a few people. It's not just for good people. It's for whoever. Any man, any woman, any boy, any girl can be saved. Because when Jesus died for sin at the cross, he died for your sin. Have I broken something? He died for your sin. Hebrews 2:9 tells us that he tasted death for everyone. So all of that potential is sitting there waiting for you to tap into it by believing in him. And the cross proves that he loves you, that he loves you. Romans 5:8 tells us that he put his great love on display in that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. Not once we'd turned over a new leaf, straightened up, improved things, had more people liking us, but while we were still sinners, while we were still marching to Satan's tune, wearing Satan's uniform, Christ died for us, for you, for me. It doesn't matter how bad our life has been, the things we have in our past, the skeletons in our closet, the things that we're glad that the people sitting beside us in here tonight don't know about us. God can save you too. Whoever. There's no qualification to that. There's no limit on that. The secret of God's plan of salvation is that you can have as much God, as much Jesus as you want. Because when we move towards him, he runs towards us. You know the story of the prodigal son. And the son goes away and he just parties his inheritance away. Ends up in a pigsty. Comes home stinking of the pigs. Covered in all sorts of lovely stuff. And he works out a plan that he's going to go home and he's going to tell the old man, no, I'm not worthy to be your son. But I'll come home and be a servant. And as soon as the old man sees that sheep that he loves coming over the hill, what does the old man do? He runs. And he wraps himself around his son. And the son doesn't get the chance to talk about the plan that he has for serving his father, because his father dresses him in his own clothes and gives him shoes, and he starts to look like his father. And he's part back in the family. Read that closely and see where the father says, I told you so. You won't find it. You won't find it. The boy comes home and he finds love. He gets the whole love of his father. He gets more love than he anticipated. When we come to Christ, we get the whole love of Christ. And he wraps himself around us and he doesn't let us go. Steve McQueen, again, those of us of a certain age, we liked Steve McQueen's movies. And he was a successful actor in the 60s and 70s. A bad boy who'd done good. But he felt his life was empty. He was a pleasure seeker. And he felt his life was had no meaning. And a little while before he died of cancer. And a little while before he died, he ended up going to a Billy Graham crusade. And at that crusade, he was saved. But he still struggled with the idea that somebody like him, who had a very checkered past, he struggled with the idea that God would simply hand salvation, would simply save somebody like him. And he struggled with that to the end of his days. Now, according to what I've read, when he died at the age of 50, he had found his hope in the Bible, because when he died, he was apparently found with his Bible open at Titus chapter 1. And Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says this, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Because it's God's promise that he will give eternal life. I give them eternal life. They will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. It's God's gift. It's what he gives us. That's what we were looking at this morning. No matter what your past's been like, no matter what burden, what shame you're carrying, you too can hope for God's promise of eternal life. And please, 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 don't be tempted to think that being saved won't work for you. That it'll work for other people. It's great for other people, but won't work for me. Please don't think that. If you look to Jesus by faith, that's what he says here. Look to me. If you look to Jesus by faith, he will save your soul. It's not for good people. Being saved is not for good people. It's not a medal that you get for living a good life and crossing the finishing line, and an angel hands you a badge to say, well done, eternal life. You qualified. Here you go. What did Jesus say? Matthew chapter 9. I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance. I didn't come for good people. I came for people who needed to be saved. It's a gift, salvation, for guilty people. It's a gift for the guilty, not a reward for the righteous. Nobody will be able to say, well, you know, I tried to believe. I tried to believe in Jesus. I tried really, really hard, but he wouldn't have me. He wouldn't save me. No, if you really want to be saved, you will be saved. Romans chapter 10. Whoever calls, there's that word again, whoever, no limit, no capacity to that word. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So who saves God? Who can be saved? Whoever. How difficult is it? Look at verse 22 again. How difficult is being saved? What does it say there? Turn to me. Look to me. Trust in me. There it is. That's it. It doesn't say, look to me, and I'll see if you're living right. I'll see if you can go a couple of weeks without being a bad boy or a bad girl. And then I'll think about it, and I'll get back to you. He doesn't say that. Look to me and be saved. Doesn't say turn over a new leaf. Promise to never sin again before I save you. You need to do that before I save you. It doesn't say that. It's just look to me. It's that simple. And yet that difficult. It's a simple look of faith. It's a simple look of commitment. It's a simple thing, but there's so much tied up in it. It's turning away from sin, and it's turning to God. If we look to God, if we look at God, we're not looking at anything or everything else. We're simply looking at God. It's that simple, and yet that profound. That look, that simple look, that's powerful enough to save you. And it goes back to an episode in the Old Testament, in Numbers chapter 21, where we're told that the Lord sent poisonous snakes into the Jewish camp, and they bit the people, and many Israelites died. And the people then came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we complained against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed, and the Lord said, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole, and then anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and raised it on a pole. And then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. You go to the doctor and you've got a nasty bite, and the doctor says to you, "Well, I want you to look at this and you'll be fine." How would you feel about that? What would you think about that? But here's the thing. For sin, that's the cure. For the disease that infects all of us from the moment that we are born, it's the cure, is to look to Jesus. Bob Dylan once said, "I was blinded by the devil, born already ruined, stone cold dead as I stepped out of the room. But by his grace I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb." Salvation can seem too good to be true. We live in a cynical age where if a thing seems too good to be true, then it obviously is too good to be true. Can it really be that simple, that looking to Jesus, that trusting in Jesus, that is enough to save us? Did God really say that? Well, yes, he did. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day in accordance with the scriptures." God said it. He's been saying it since Genesis 3:15, that somebody's going to come to crush the head of the serpent. And then Paul again in Romans 10, "If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved." See, being saved isn't about your ability to change or my ability to change. And it's not about your big faith. It's about simply looking to Jesus by faith. Now, believe it or not, we have all done this before. We did it with our parents when we were young, when we were when we depended on them for everything. They would come to us in the cot, and our first reaction was, "Hands up, take me, lift me, hold me, warm me, feed me, clean me." We looked to our parents for everything. We loved our parents. So why is it so difficult for us to do that now? And anyone can turn to Jesus. Young, old, middle-aged, you can turn. Rich, poor, you can turn. Good people, bad people, you can turn. Anybody can turn to Jesus. Speaking of bad people, Saul of Tarsus. I saw somebody once write down that Saul of Tarsus, who wasted the church, who persecuted the church, who was involved in conspiracy to torture and persecute and kill Christians, entered heaven to the cheers of those whom he persecuted. That's how grace works. His past was no impediment to the heaven that he experienced with Christ. But here's the thing, nobody else can do it for you. Nobody else can save you. Only Jesus. So have you turned to Jesus? If not, why not? Why on earth not? Because you hear it better than I can present it. You hear it here every Sunday. You hear the gospel. So why aren't you doing anything about it if you haven't turned to Jesus? So will you? Will you? How secure is this? And be saved. Be. Cause and effect. Action and consequence. Remember, being saved is to be safe from all harm and danger. Your soul saved. Your soul safe from all harm and danger of hell. That's what it is. Because if you are not saved, then you are under a death penalty, an eternal death penalty for sin. We are treasonous. If you are not saved, if you don't believe in Jesus, then you're a traitor. You are committing treason against the high king. And the penalty for treason is death. And against the high king, the death penalty is served in hell without end. When you turn to Jesus, you're saved from that eternal death penalty. And as you grow in Jesus, you're kept safe daily from the power of sin. And ultimately, in heaven, you will be saved from the presence of sin. And some people think that being saved means that any slip-ups, any mistakes, anything that we get wrong, and we get things wrong, any of that puts us back on the road to hell. Thank you very much, but you're not good enough for me. If that's what you think, then you're not reading your Bible properly. Look at the great characters of the Bible story. Moses. Now, we're told that Moses was a meek man. The Bible tells us that. Oh, yeah? Murdered a man with his bare hands. He was that meek. God tells him to go and speak to a rock to get water out. And he whacks the rock in temper with a stick. He had such a temper. He was a murderer because of his temper. That's why he was on the run for 40 years for his life. Abraham was a liar. He told the king that his wife was his sister to save his own skin. Because he thought the king would want his wife and that he'd just be dispatched. David committed adultery, covered it up with murder. Simon Peter denied Jesus, went back to his own way. You know, when he goes back and he comes to after denying Jesus, he says, I'm going fishing. That's him going back to his old life. That's him losing dependence on Jesus. I need to put food on the table. I need to do this. I'm off back. And that's why Jesus calls him Simon when he meets him on the beach. All deeply flawed human beings, all heroes of the faith, all used by God. It's God who made them great, not the people themselves. See, when we mess up, when we sin, and we do it every day, even the best of us does it every day. Here's the secret. Here's the key. We've got a man on the inside. We've got somebody working for us for free if we believe in him. Jesus Christ, our advocate at the court of the Father. He He is the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. He forgives all our sin. There's chastisement for sin, but there's forgiveness that overflows and that cleans and cleanses. Being saved through Jesus means being safe forever from the dangers, from the penalties of sin, even though we sin new, afresh every day. And we need our feet washed by Christ every day. We are once saved, always saved. That verse we had this morning, I give them eternal life. They will never perish. No one can snatch them. No one can take them away from me. There's the security that you have in Christ. In a world that's falling apart before our very eyes. Supposing you're at the shore, you're at the beach, and you see someone drowning 100 meters out, and you swim out and you drag them to the shore. Now, you would have to do it because I can't swim. I'm from an island, which is a small piece of land surrounded in all 360 degrees by water, but like many, many islanders, I don't swim, can't swim. Stay to the bottom, yes, but I can't float. So you'd have to do the saving, and that's fine by me. Quite happy for you to go in. And you swim out and you get this person and you drag them towards the shore and you're still 10 meters out and you say, right, that's close enough. Pretty sure you can finish the job off yourself. You can save yourself. Are they safe? No, they're not. They're still in danger, very much in danger. That's not how Jesus operates. When he saves our souls, he does it totally, completely, permanently, and eternally. Doesn't leave us a bit to do. He does it all. So that if you are truly saved, if you are truly believing and truly trusting in Jesus Christ, there is no way you can mess up your salvation because it's Jesus who saves, not you. Is that too good to be true? Does that sound too good to be true? Are you sitting there thinking, nah? The verse we had this morning, John 10:28, I give them eternal life. They will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. When Jesus saves your soul stays saved forever. Wouldn't you like this kind of salvation? This kind of security? This peace when you lay your head down at night on a pillow, everything is taken care of. Peace between you and God. Every sin forgiven. A home waiting in heaven for you when you leave this world. All of this and more is yours if you look, if you turn to Jesus by faith. I sound a bit like a salesman, don't I? Well, yes. Because that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to sell you an insurance policy that will pay out through all eternity. Maybe you've looked at everything else in life. Maybe you've tried everything else in life. Why not look to Jesus? What would you think about somebody who was drowning, fell into the Clyde, was in the middle of the Clyde, was going down for the third time, and you went to throw them a life belt, and they refused it? No, I'm fine, honest. What would you think about them? What would you think about somebody who was poisoned and wouldn't want the antidote? No, it's fine. I'll sweat it out. It'll be okay. Yes, arsenic, I know, but it'll be fine. What would you think about them? In your head, the word I-D-I-O-T would probably form. So what would you think about somebody who is unsaved, who refuses the only way to be saved? If you turn, if you look to Jesus, if you trust in Jesus, you will be saved. That's straightforward salvation. Lord, we thank you for your word and we confess the complexities that we force onto your word that are of our making and not your making. We ask this evening, Lord, that any of us in here who have not yet looked to Jesus and been saved would have the strength the desire, the longing to do so. Because whoever looks to you, whoever comes to you, whoever wants to be saved, you will never send them away. Help us to know that and understand that and to long for the love of Christ. For Jesus' sake, amen.